I thank Brother Spencer for singing that song for us and leading us in that song, I should say. Who is on the Lord's side? We want to talk about that tonight, and as we do, we just want to kind of look at a few things and think about ourselves and really, whose side are you on this evening? This afternoon, the Indians played baseball. And there's a certain sister in the audience with us today that was probably on the edge of her seat and really excited because the Indians won the game 10-0. She was for the Indians, but she wasn't with the Indians. And we'll talk about that and how important that is. But she was on the side. You always want to be on the winning side, don't you? I mean, I don't know anybody that wants to be on the side of the Baltimore Orioles tonight. You want to be on the winning side. In the school, on the playground, we used to play football and baseball, and we always picked the big guys and the strong guys to be on our team because we wanted to be the winners. Same thing with basketball. You always want to be on the winner's side. And if you will, turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 32. And realize that Moses here, in chapter 31, he's up on that mountain with the Lord and getting information from God, the commandments of the Lord, and he tarries up there a little bit. It tells us that in chapter 32 and in verse 1. And as he tarries, the people are getting a little, they're getting a little nervous and they're wanting something to happen, and they go to Aaron and they tell Aaron, to build them a golden calf. They're gonna worship this golden calf. And Aaron tells them in verse 2, he says to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron, and he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned with it an engraving tool and made a molded calf. And then they said, this is your God. It's amazing how quickly we change sides. And that's very possible in this world. And in the church, we need to be careful to avoid changing sides. We don't want to do things on a whim. We want a black and white faith. We want to know what God said, book, chapter, verse. And so the question comes up, who is on the Lord's side? Chapter 32, verse 26. Moses came off that mountain. He was displeased. The Lord was displeased. And in verse 26, Moses stood at the entrance of the camp. And he said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And we know that those people that didn't come to him were punished with the sword. Whose side are we on? Whose side? That's the question. And the question is something every person should ask very seriously. Whose side am I on when it comes to God? His or own status. Are you really on the Lord's side? Or are you on the other side? And listen, when you talk about the two sides here, as far as the church is concerned, there are only two sides. There is the devil, that's one side, and then there's God, that's the other side. Choose this day. And so no man can serve two masters, Jesus said. Jesus made it very clear that there are two. You can either love one or hate the other, but you can't serve them both. And so Jesus has told us very clearly that we can't play both sides. We can't just run down the middle. We need to decide what side we're on. Jesus said in Matthew 12 and 30, he who is not with me, and I want you to remember that word, with me, is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. And what does it mean to be with Jesus? It means the same thing as being with a team. It means the same thing as being with a company Or it means the same thing as being with a wife. That word with in the original language literally means to be with one, to be on one side. That's what Thayer says. And so we think very diligently about what that means. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, if you remember, Jesus said, teaching them all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I will what? I will be with you till the end of the age. That's where we want to be. Revelation chapter 13, verse 15 and 16, I know your works, Jesus says, that you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish that you were cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Jesus said that to the church of the Laodiceans. And we take a moment and look at this and think about the gray columns, this lukewarm, these things that sometimes people get involved with and claim that there's no divine guidance. We kind of keep it gray so that we can continue on in some form or some manner of sin. But there are no grays when it comes to God. We can't be lukewarm, because if we are, Jesus will vomit us out of His mouth. And everyone needs to understand that what we do is either black or white. Making decisions in the church needs to be that way. We cannot have gray areas. Saying I am and not with are two different things. Notice in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 12 what Adam said about his wife. The man said to God, the woman you gave to be with me. Adam and Eve were with one another. They were joined as we are today when we marry. We're together. In Psalm 23 and 4, remember David? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. As we trust God and we obey Him, He is with us. He's our comforter. He guides us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17, then we who are alive and shall be caught up together with them, those who were raised up from the dead, will be together with them, will be one company, just like there's one church. And the scripture goes on to say that we'll meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Again, it's not like baseball. You're not out watching it. You're not for that. We're with that. We want to be with them, not just for them. Are you for Christ or are you with Christ? And so many make that the statements that I'm with the Lord. I'm with the Lord. But really, they're just for the Lord because they're not doing the work the Lord has called them to do. Sometimes the Lord's people are just along for the ride. You know, sometimes we find ourselves asking when will people learn that it's not enough just to stand apart? We need to be a part of the battle. We need to come over to this side and be with one another. I am not just for the Lord. I want to be with the Lord. And we have to ask ourselves, am I for? Am I with? Are you really on the Lord's side? Think about this. There's the church. Are you working for the church? And sometimes we are. And sometimes people are just along for the ride. And they're the ones that will shout, yeah, I'm for Jesus. But they're not going to get out and work. They won't help the church along. They're just for, not with. And sometimes they'll just sit there and say, you guys are doing such a great job. We need to be workers, right, in the kingdom. And as we go down that road, the same thing is with whether you're hot or cold or lukewarm. You're either working for the church, against the church, you're either zealous or an innocent bystander of some sort, or you're just along for the ride, lukewarm. There are no lukewarms that make the Lord happy. Be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's a command from Paul. And I want to take a moment to divide some things that a lot of people put into gray areas when they're really just black and white. Nowhere do we read in God's word that instrumental music is authorized. What we read is sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And many people make that a gray area. Many congregations have gone in the way of error by simply saying, I don't think it makes any difference. It's kind of a gray area. But God said sing. Therefore, instrumental music is in the black column. That's over here. It's in the black. We know that that's the right thing. Or that it's wrong, rather. It's in the black column. We know it's wrong. And we put it over there. What about immodesty? We're told to prove all things, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, to do all things in the name of the Lord, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and do everything to the glory of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. We're to live beyond reproach, 1 Peter 3:15, and to wear proper clothing, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 through 10. You know what that does? Those scriptures place immodesty in that black column. We're not to dress immodestly. But some people think you are. It's okay. It doesn't matter how you dress. And when we think about that, what about dancing? Does God's word prove all things that we abstain from every appearance of evil? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21 through 22. And is lusting with your eyes something that's good or bad? And when you think about dancing, can you control the mind of other people, maybe the person you're dancing with, maybe just people who are onlookers? Can you control their thoughts? Of course not. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:53, do not be deceived, evil company corrupts good habits. And so we can look at so many scripture, Romans chapter 14 verse 23, 1 Corinthians 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Everything we look at leads us to believe, if we rightly divide it, that dancing belongs in the black column. What about, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Also the words of the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians chapter 4, when he tells us to think on these things. What things? Things that are lovely, things that are pure, righteous, good. When you think about dancing, that's not what people tend to think about. Another thing that should be in that black column is smoking. There are still people today that smoke cigarettes. Well, listen, Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Didn't he say that? Or did he say, light up in front of men? He didn't, right? He said, let your light shine. Not the light of your match or your cigarette lighter. Is smoking approved of God? Smoking is a work of the flesh. It's not a work of the Spirit. It's an addiction and an enslavement. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, chapter 9, verse 27. We cannot afford to be a slave to sin. There are things that are right, there are things that are bad, and we can't afford to be caught up in those things that are an offense. And it's harmful to your health. This body that we have is the temple of God. And so we look at these things, and smoking, what side should that be on? The white, the good side, or the black, the bad side? We put it over on the black side. And as we think about this, finally, we're left with social drinking. By the way, glorify God in your body. I didn't read that. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And that has to do with smoking. And that anything that the devil, we can't allow the lust for dancing or the smoking. We can't allow the desire for alcohol or immodest dress. Maybe I just really like this shirt that I wear, but it's revealing. Men and women both can dress immodestly. We can't allow that. We can't be pulled under the power of any, especially that which is contrary to God. And so we've looked at all these, rightly dividing, and we can say that there's no gray area here. Who is on the Lord's side? And as far as alcohol is concerned, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, Solomon said, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and anyone who's led astray by it is a fool. And we can read other scriptures that pertain to that. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Romans 13:13. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10. Remember all those lists of things? Some of those are drunkards. And they're all listed in that black side. The things that you were once. And so we think about that. Alcohol is on the wrong side. Paul said, test all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. We need to be sure we're delivered from Satan's kingdom, from his power, from his influence. To be on the Lord's side, it's necessary to leave the other side. That's what 1 Corinthians was all about, chapter 6, verses 9 through. It was all about being on the right side. The former conduct, the other ways, the ways of the flesh, all those things we put aside. And we need to choose which side we're going to be on. The idea of being a loyal subject of Christ means to be a citizenship in His kingdom. Writing to the Colossians, the Apostle Paul said, giving thanks to unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. We've made a choice. We have obeyed the gospel. When we believed and obeyed, we repented and were baptized into the body of Christ, we were translated or conveyed or transferred from one side to the other. And now we need to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 14:37. We need to be that kind of people. We need to be obeying the apostles' doctrine and the teaching of Christ. We need to choose what side. We need to be delivered. Peter told the Christians of his day that we were called out of darkness into the marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9. And this involved purifying our souls. It meant being born again of the incorruptible seed. And that's what we have. That's how we choose which side. Those who have not done this, they're not on the Lord's side. You can praise the name of, and listen, you know people that will praise the name of Jesus. They'll raise holy hands and they'll sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, and they'll do everything they do in the name of the Lord, but they're not with the Lord. And we know who that is because they choose to be on the wrong side when it comes to the scripture. They end up following in the way of Satan. We do not have the spirit of the world, but the spirit which comes from God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12. We want the spirit that comes from God. John chapter 17, 14, Jesus talks about it, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We need to be on which side. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Which side are you on? Now, as we look at this, think the Lord's side is necessitates being involved. Doing things necessitates action. We can't just say, I'm for the Lord. We need to be with the Lord. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow me, right? Take up his cross daily and follow me. We need to be doers of the word, not hearers only, is what James taught us. And so as we look at this, he instructs us to take his yoke upon him, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Right? Come unto me, all ye that are heavily laden and labored, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest for your souls. But taking the yoke upon him doesn't mean he's just going to carry you along. It means he's going to guide you along. But you need to go along. You need to be with him. That's what that yoke is. That means you're attached to Jesus. You're with him in everything. You don't stand off to the side and just say, I'm for you, Jesus. You got to be doing the work. And it's a cross that we bear daily, as Jesus said. Those who think that they can play lukewarm are finding themselves during the week maybe doing things on the devil's side a little bit, and then every Sunday they switch over to the Lord's side. And the Lord demands that we follow him, not run before him, not with presumptuous deeds, but we follow him. Those that are on the Lord's side, they go beyond nothing that the Lord said. 2 John 9, he who transgresses goes beyond and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. We need to be a people who are not going beyond and just doing what God had to say. You know, the song, I Am on the Lord's Side, that song that we just sang, I love that song. I'm sure most of you do. But every time you sing that song, I am on the Lord's side, meaning I'm attaching myself to be with him, doing the work that he's called me to do. Whether that be evangelism, edification, or just benevolence, I need to be doing the work that he has called me to do. Maybe I'm a teacher, maybe I'm a preacher, maybe I'm just somebody that is good at prayer, somebody that's good at serving, somebody that's good at calling, somebody that's good at sending letters or cards to people. Whatever your talent is, you do that with the Lord. You're one together with the Lord. I am on the Lord's side. Master, here am I. Remember when Moses said to those people, you know, if you're on the Lord's side, you come over to me, and guess what? A lot of people didn't come. These are the same people that God had heard their cries in Egypt. The same people that showed them all the plagues that caused Pharaoh to let them go. The same people that he opened up the Red Sea by his power and he let the people cross over on dry land. And the same people who immediately started complaining are the same people that built the calf because Moses delayed and they couldn't see past their nose. To be on the Lord's side sometimes means that you're with him in the word. And sometimes it takes a lot of meditation. Sometimes it takes a time when you don't necessarily see everything happening in front of you, but you walk by faith, not by sight. That's what it means to be on the Lord's side. By deed, by life, by giving. And there's danger in delay in Exodus chapter 32, verses 1 through 6. And we had just glance through that. Let's read it. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that we shall go before us. For as for Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what he has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings. And we read this. from your wives, your ears, wives' ears, and your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron, and he received the gold from their hand. He fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. And they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron, and you notice, Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." And in verse 6, "Then they rose early in the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." What happened there when in the delay, as they, instead of focusing on the things that God had done, instead of focusing on everything that they saw with their own eyes, they turned to other gods in verse 1. "Come, let us make other gods." In verse 2, they misused the resources that God had. You know, when they how'd they get the gold? How did they get that? When they left Egypt, they were given all these things by the people, by the Egyptians, because of God's power and because of God's grace and because of what God had done and put fear in the hearts of the people. They gladly gave them all that gold and all the pottery and everything they had. But they misused those things that God had provided. And it led other people into sin. In verse 3 and 4, the people broke off the earrings. Everybody was together in this. All because of a few. So there's danger in delaying. You turn to other gods, you misuse the resources, and it leads you other people into sin, and sin becomes your new religion. It becomes your new way of life. There's danger in delaying. All that the Lord did for them, they gave credit to the calf. Where are we doing that in life? Let's you know, meditate on these kinds of things and ask, whose side am I really on? There are members that aren't here tonight. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they're not here because they just don't like coming on Sundays. But during the week, are we studying like we're supposed to do? Are we meditating on the Word of the Lord day and night? Are we drawing in and gleaning from God and learning and growing in our faith? Are we adding, as Peter said, to our faith? Do we understand that being stagnant or being delaying a study or delaying talking to people, delaying, it just causes us to get into a certain kind of a routine and a habit, which is not going to be from God. Their life begins to revolve around this new God. And so Aaron builds the altar. Tomorrow's the feast. They rose up early, forgetting everything that they had learned from God. And the people sat down to eat. The intercessor pleads, of course, on their behalf in verses 7 through 14. And we know who that intercessor is. That's Moses and Joshua. He heard the noise of the people and he shouted and he said to Moses, "There's a noise and a war in the camp." But he said, "It's not a noise. It's not a shout of victory, nor noise, a cry of defeat, but the sound of singing." And Moses interceded for the people. He said, in verse 12, why should the people, the Egyptians, speak and say, "He brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them in the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from the harm of your people." He didn't want God to destroy them. And God relented, but God told him that those who sin, he's going to take them out of his book. He's going to take them out of his book. Who's on the Lord's side? You know, Joshua, he heard that. Moses, his anger becomes hot. He eventually himself casts those tablets down that God had given him. Their way of life prevented them from hearing the things that the Lord wanted them to know. Who's on the Lord's side? I'm for the Lord, right? But my family and my friends are busy. I'm glad to see a family here sitting together with their daughter and son-in-law, or daughter-in-law and son, and vice versa. You know, I'm glad you're here. But you know how many times, if you've been in the church, you've heard somebody, well, where were you Sunday? Well, my relatives came over. Whose side are you on? I'm on the Lord's side. But I can't make religion my life. After all, I got to work, I got to play, I got to make money. Who wants a boring life? Those are people that are for the Lord. My future, you know, think about that. It may depend on how I play the game. I had a young man in a congregation where I preached, and his father let him miss Wednesdays. He let him miss Sundays completely because he was on a traveling baseball team, and he thought he had a good chance of being a Major League Baseball player. And he said, but my future may depend on how well I play the game for his son. Isn't that sad? Whose side are you on? What are you teaching your children? I'm very busy. I don't have time for all that church stuff. Anyway, somebody else will do it. There's a lukewarm statement. So think about these things. You look at the Bible, it says we're all sinners, so I can sin just because Jesus died for my sins. There's all kinds of things that people say. But realize Jesus is the intercessor. He is the advocate. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. In Romans 8 and verse 31, Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is the intercessor for us. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to be on His side with Him, not separate. Let's talk real quick about the book of life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name from the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. The books were open, and another book was open, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the book. Revelation chapter 22, verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 22:19, and if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. The book of life. There's a book in heaven. Whether it's a literal book, whether that's a spiritual kind of a book, or whether that's just a allegory for something else, there's a book of some sort. And the question is your name written in that book? I can tell you, if you're with the Lord, your name's in the book. If you're hot, cold, if you're lukewarm, your name's not going to be in the book. You have to decide who you're with and how you're going to serve the Lord. The question today is, who is on the Lord's side? Who will follow Jesus? Who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side. Master, here am I. The book of life. That's something that God has from the foundation of the world and even before. It's something that your name gets added to and your name can be taken out of. If you want your name added to the book, you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You hear the word, John chapter 6, verse 45. You hear and are taught the word of God, and you believe that. John chapter 8, verse 24. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You can repent of your sins. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. And then Jesus told us to confess him before men, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. And he will confess you before the Father. Those are very easy things to do. And when you do those things and you are baptized into Christ for the remission of sins to be added to the church, then God has put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that's where you want that name to stay. You know how to make that name stay there is you continue to be with the Lord, in the work, in the service. How can two walk together unless they agree? And if you're a member of the church and maybe you haven't quite been with the Lord, you've been for the Lord but not quite with, then you need to make that right. Because you're also in jeopardy to have that name taken out of the book. I hope this lesson's helped you in some way. And if there's anyone here who has a need, if you have a desire to talk, or if you have something that you need personally, please understand we're here to help you. And we invite you tonight to come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.